sage Thor, are you the one that I've been waiting for? Out of sorrow and towers have been built, out of longing outside my window, the world has gone to war. Are you the one that I've been waiting for? Oh, we will know, won't we? The stars will explode.
Listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM, and that peppy dance number is here to kick off our show about dating around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jessica, by the way, and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Ready to hit the dating bars?
I am single and ready to mingle, Jess. Yep.
Got your
I am neither of those things, by the way. But
yeah, so back off, everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, today we're talking about Netflix's okayest new dating show to be on Netflix, Dating Around, where there's not even like a log line, where one person goes on 5 dates and then has to commit to marrying one of the people,
yeah.
Right?
No,
they all go on a helicopter.
There's 5 roses, yeah. And they all get thrown on one person.
There's a manipulative producer who gets everyone to cry
yeah.
all the time, or say I love you to 6 different people in the course of an afternoon. No, it's none of those things.
Yeah.
It's a very spare, simple dating. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I found it oddly compelling.
I did too.
And not even, I mean, maybe compelling's the wrong word, but it's very easy to watch. And
yeah.
I think
those things are getting, they're on a course toward a horizon.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
It's like anything that doesn't make me very upset now
yeah.
is great television.
Yeah. I think this may be the first show we do in a while where we're like, it's a metaphor for America, or we're not like it's a metaphor for
yeah.
America.
There will probably not be any comparisons to Carcosa today, which
I know.
Is very odd for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it seems like that's really off brand, but
yeah.
Yeah, I found it very easy to watch, and I also found it just yeah, like really comforting and
mm-hmm.
kind of banal, like low stakes.
It's very low stakes.
There's also no resolution, like there's no end cap, like Sarah and Matt went on to date for 4 months and then eventually broke up
yeah.
because all men are garbage. there's none of that. And I like the low investment. It's kind of like this strange window into just like watching people interact. And yeah, I found it surprisingly effective.
Yeah, I did too. And I think that's exactly right. Like, it shows that you don't really need any sort of high stakes contest mm-hmm. or anything to make something compelling if it's just sort of a... I mean, I know it's not organic. It's very edited, obviously. But it feels very natural. Like, the mm-hmm. conversations are definitely not scripted. I found myself sort of, you know, uncomfortable just watching watching like the ticks of small talk mm-hmm. and like trying to, you know, feel a stranger out or signal the things you want to signal mm-hmm. When it's not something you want to say, like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did find it compelling. It does feel very human.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the, when I was sort of Googling about it, a lot of the headlines are like, Netflix's new dating show is the thing you need to be watching, because every headline has to be clickbaity and
yeah.
overblown. And then the articles all sort of struggled to prove their thesis about why it's, you know, the emblem of our times or the most amazing, you know, the antidote to the modern reality show. It's just like, nah, it's just kind of a cool show to watch.
Yeah, it's just not, fun. It doesn't, everything doesn't need to be something, guys. Like, it's just, yeah, it was just enjoyable to watch. It was easy to digest. It was kind of this, like, interesting window into people dating. And, yeah, I don't know. Is it just that we're all so disconnected from each other that, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go there with the whole thing about...
Yeah, I mean, modern would venture that there isn't a whole thing.
There's, yeah.
It's just, yeah. I mean, maybe it is sort of emblematic of our times that, like, just something that's, like... It's almost as easy to watch as, like, a rerun of, mm-hmm. like, 90210, which I've been rewatching lately.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, it's a non-threatening, like, Magic Mike XXL. Slightly less sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Slightly less woke because it's actually dealing with real people in the world. And there are definitely villains, which I enjoyed.
Oh,
or
yeah.
One specific villain, which we can get to. But.
So before we get, we'll probably go over the various episodes and daters. But I read an interview this morning with Lex. From episode 3,
mm-hmm.
a gay man, and he revealed, so he said they shot the entire show over the course of a week,
mm-hmm.
and for him, I don't know if this was true of everyone, he was working, like he couldn't take time off work that week, so they shot his dates from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. on consecutive nights.
Oh.
And something that struck me about the show is the main dater wore the same outfit mm-hmm. on every date,
yes.
which I presume was a scientific, like, way to try to keep things consistent.
So continuity, there
are fewer variables.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And, like, everything was the same. They all went to the same, like, restaurant, mm-hmm. bar, combination, whatever. But could you imagine wearing the same outfit 5 nights in a row?
No.
I mean,
7 p.m. to 5 a.m., that's, like, peak sweaty time, too.
And I mean... Talk about sweating, like interacting with a stranger for the mm-hmm. first time. I get very sweaty. I would have to buy 5 of the same
yeah.
dress.
Yes, that is absolutely what you would have
Less
to
of
do.
An issue for Lex, whose look is white t-shirt and jeans. So
yeah.
Lucky sure. him. He gets to wear a different white t-shirt every night, presumably. What else? Yeah, I mean, do you think that there could be a benefit to going on a first date that is like... that you're compelled to be with the person for like 5 to 10 hours.
No.
I know. Why? Well, I was thinking like maybe you would see something in someone that you would otherwise overlook when you are going based on sort of like an initial reaction. But I think I would just be more likely to murder the person on the
yeah,
first date.
I feel like it makes every first date way worse.
A marathon.
Yeah.
A slog.
That seems like a lot.
Okay. Any standouts for you? Should we just go episode by episode?
Yeah, let's just go episode by episode.
The first one, Luke, straight yeah. white man, going out with 5 boring... It was, like, definitely the low light of the season, mm-hmm. and I'm surprised they led off with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just to like, if they thought there'd be some benefit to just starting with the most basic
bland
version,
yeah,
of a dating show, like a straight white man.
Yeah.
Like that's our
a bland guy who works in finance or real estate or whatever. Yeah,
there were a lot of like property bros, mm-hmm, on the show. I think there was one every episode that had a man, and it had a man who was in real estate.
Yeah.
But that's New York for you, I guess. I thought he was lying when that woman described herself as a masshole, and he was like, I've never heard that term.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, I was, I can't remember what specifically it was, but he said something sarcastically or joking, and I was like, I audibly gasped in my living room because I did not think he was capable of that. Like, he made a joke, and I was like, oh, Luke understands humor. Like, wow. Yeah, he was the blandest.
Yeah, he was a tall drink of yogurt.
Yeah, just like, fine. Like, yeah, just one in a million, not one in a million, one of a million bros.
Yeah. I was surprised by the woman who won, sort of. She was like this really boring blonde who kept describing herself as like very high energy and also such a weirdo. Mm-hmm. And like you could tell she was the person whose entire personality was talking about what a weirdo she,
yeah,
is. She's definitely not a weirdo.
Yeah.
But anyway, best of luck to them.
Yeah, Luke and Victoria. She...
Are you looking up everyone's Instagram right now?
No, I'm not. I'm actually looking at like a recap to find out where they are now. Apparently they're not. They didn't stay together. Victoria is now in a relationship with someone else.
Ooh.
The two do follow each other on Instagram and occasionally toss each other a like. she was a real piece of work. Like, she angered me. Mainly a lot of it's my husband's immediate reaction was like, I love her so much. Because he immediately fell for the, like, she had like a big horsey laugh. And she, deployed that. Yeah, I guess. I mean, we're married, but, like.
You don't have a horsey laugh.
She deployed that to, like, very.
Oh, yeah.
Like, try. Yeah, like, her entire personality is built around telling people, like, I'm so weird and inappropriate. And she is absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
She also talked about how she got, like, absolutely shredded last year and, you know, I just, yeah, like, you know, she's got, her Instagram's probably full of, like, athleisure, and I was, she is definitely performing a version of, like, a cool girl.
Yeah.
That.
Trying too
she,
hard.
Yeah, that was trying too hard, and it just made me irate that my husband was like, I love her! I'm like, you men are so stupid, you're all idiots. Idiots, all of you.
Yeah. I was also, just in general with the hetero dates, like, just watching women and the way they try to soothe the male ego and, like, mm-hmm, the signals that you give off to try to make a man feel comfortable or, like, good about himself, even when you don't fucking know him or care about him.
Yeah.
I was very uncomfortable just because I'm sure that I do that all the time. Like, I'm always concerned with how comfortable people are, and, it just, I gotta stop. I don't give a shit how anyone feels.
Yeah.
Should we move on to Gherky?
Yeah. Gherky. So
I didn't connect this until, obviously, watching the show, but I had seen that viral clip of,
yeah,
her date blowing,
yeah,
up. Like, so it feels like months ago.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
But,
Gherky's a beautiful,
mm-hmm,
like, a super attractive, like, worldly,
successful. She's a jewelry
super
buyer for
hot
Barney's, which that's a thing.
Yeah,
wow.
Super hot, like, 36-year-old who looks 28,
mm-hmm,
and was too good for any of those fuckers,
yeah,
that they paired her with. But
the worst guy, Justin, really did overshadow the fact that they were all fucking losers.
I kind of like the one Middle Eastern guy, except
Manny,
I think. I got definite gay vibes from him, though.
Oh, totally. He did a little jig.
Yeah.
Literally. He was like, yeah, he was all about, like, wanting to go dancing and, like, couldn't keep his dancing feet still.
Yeah.
But,
Gerke ended up pulling the Kelly Taylor and choosing herself.
Yeah, good for her. But yeah, I mean, the internet's probably discussed Justin ad nauseum, but what a fucking, like, even before, so the date blows up because she is divorced and he decides to laser in on that and, like, berate her for being divorced, essentially, or having gotten married to a man that she had doubts about. But it was all just, like, to cover up his deep insecurity about what a piece of trash. Like, I think that he could sense that she wasn't into him.
Yeah.
And so instead of getting rejected, he decided to, like, blow up the date by being a total fucking monster.
Yeah, which is also a very, like,
classic.
That's a classic man move. Like, can I buy you a drink? No, thanks. Fuck you. You're not that hot anyway. Yeah, like.
But even before we got to that, he was so awful. Like, just. He kept talking about New York like he was the fucking king of New York. And she said something about dating. And he's like, well, you just haven't been in New York long enough.
Yeah.
They were talking about having a family. And he actually said, nothing intrigues me more than being a father. It's like, intrigues you?
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah. He was a sociopath. He was a total asshole.
He drank Miller High Life like a fucking hipster back when the term hipster meant anything.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. I would like to say that's one of the things that shocked me the most about this show is how every single first date, all these men were like, please have a baby with me. Like, nothing is more off-putting than talking about having a fucking family in the first date.
Right.
And I don't know if that's just how young people do it now. Like, it's, I don't, is it all to signal that this is, like, you're serious or worthwhile or whatever?
I don't know. I found myself wondering the same thing. I was like, do people talk about that on the first date? And I actually couldn't remember. It's been so long. Like, it seems like you might as well talk about deal breakers. Like, if you're definitely not on the same path, why would you go on a second date? But I don't know. Back when I actually dated people for, it seemed like second date. That's also a thing, like just having fun.
Yeah.
Before you find out if you're going to have a million babies together.
Yeah. It was, but it was also weird because all of it, the thing I was most surprised by is like all of it was precipitated by the men generally.
Yeah, yeah.
Like every guy asked, like, do you see yourself having kids? Like you could see them like calculating her ovaries like and well, are you gonna have a family like right away because you're old. It was very, very strange to me. I was like, I am not cut out for this. If God forbid my marriage ended, I'm done. I believe I've been on the record on that before, on that point before, but like, yeah, no.
If you are listening and want to join our conversation, if you've been on a first date within the last decade and know whether it's appropriate to talk about marriage and babies, let us know. We're on Twitter at BFFTV on the radio. We would love to hear your input.
Yeah, Gerke, if you have anything you want to tell us about Justin, we would love to hear that he's, I bet too, he is, like, I know that guy fucking doused himself in some terrible cologne too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he stunk in every, that guy was trash.
Real trash. I've heard his Instagram is private. As you might imagine. My husband and I were discussing like whether or not this guy's life is ruined. And I would venture that he is, you know, this show in a sea of millions of TV shows, he's bland enough looking. He'll be able to escape this. Like, he won't be known as that trash asshole on Dating Around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't.
The benefits of being a anonymous looking white guy.
Just
the Nazi haircut. No one will ever recognize you.
Right. I don't think that, I don't know. I don't think Dating Around has had like a cultural moment really. So yeah, I think that guy will be fine. I'll look forward to seeing him as The Bachelor next season.
God forbid. Don't give them any ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you are out on The Bachelor, so it won't matter to you, but I am still deep in the throes of addiction, so.
I got all the way out, guys. I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either.
They didn't even reel me in with the virgin this season.
That's great, because there was fucking no payoff for that in any sense of the word. Should we move on to Lex?
Yeah, let's.
Lex is fire emoji. That's like... That's all I can say about him.
That's what the kids do.
He's so, like, just so charming and says, like, threw out some sexual innuendo on his dates.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, if he were less charming, I would be like, oh, that's inappropriate. Like, don't talk to people that way when you don't know them. But Lux can get away with anything.
Yeah.
He went out with a... quite the circus of men.
Yeah.
A couple normal guys, a couple not normal guys.
I super shipped him and the rugby guy.
Yeah, an ex-NFL
They were the first
player.
People that I was, like... invested in seeing them do something.
I was very surprised that he didn't pick what was his name? Who cares?
Brad?
Yeah. Brad, the NFL player, who is a like
that is
hunky.
Who he picked, isn't it?
No, he picked Corey, ugly Anthony Porowski, the first guy he went out with.
What?
Just sort of a goofy looking. I think he was another real estate guy. Said that he almost went into like the clergy, but he did not. Super bland. I don't think
Wait, was he the rugby player at that?
So No.
He didn't go for the bearded guy?
Mm-mm, no.
I thought he did.
No. I think they made out, but he picked
I thought
Corey.
He ended up with the bearded
Corey,
guy.
That was his name. But I want to talk about Jonathan, Mr. I've had my sequin jacket for 7 months, and I've been waxing my mustache for a year and a half. And it's like, what? Do you have a date stamp on everything?
Yeah. Poor that guy.
He was a songwriter / dog walker who launched right. He's, I mean, can you fucking imagine? Like, do you want to hear one of my songs? And then that doesn't mean, like, do you want to hear me sing one, which would be awful enough. Do you want me to just read the lyrics off my iPhone?
Yeah. It was that guy is clearly in search of a personality and is trying to signal it through.
Sequins.
All this, through sequins and a wax mustache.
And if you've been waxing your mustache for a year and a half, shouldn't it be better? It looked like
I feel
was bent.
Yeah.
Did you sleep on that wax mustache?
Yes.
Not a lot of love connections for Lex, it felt like, but he seemed to have a good time. He was just so charming and like very good at moving conversations, you know?
Okay. Wait, sorry. I just discovered, which I did not know. That guy, Justin, from season 2.
Episode 2, yeah.
Episode 2, sorry.
Nazi haircut asshole.
Yeah, works in real estate. Mm-hmm. But he works in real estate with Frederick, the guy from Million Dollar Listing.
Oh, really?
In New York. The guy who's, like, so fucking extra. Uh-huh. So maybe he's just...
So he's trying to be famous.
Yeah, he's probably trying to be famous, but also, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm breaking anything wide open here, guys, but, that guy Frederick's a real dick, and so maybe, no, why am I giving Justin the benefit of the doubt? No, dicks hire dicks. It's not that he became a dick by working with Frederick. Yeah.
I do want to come back to this issue of whether, like whether a dating show will ever be anything again besides people just trying to get Instagram followers. But we'll circle back to that. And Lex Peter, the other Gaysian that Lex went out with,
mm-hmm.
he, like, came in a little pathetic to me, and then he really grew on me. Mm-hmm. I loved Peter.
Yeah.
And I think he and Lex should stay friends. Or I'll be friends with you, Peter, whose drag name is Queero Wang, which that's a pretty good drag name.
He had a very strange face.
Yeah. He might have just had the glow after a couple gin and tonics.
No, I think like just his actual face was very distinctive.
He did have a strange face. He was an aspiring actor, and I... best of luck to you, Peter.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Leonard?
Yeah, let's do it.
70-ish widower. I liked Leonard, but goddamn, that frog joke needs to go.
It wasn't even funny.
Not
it doesn't
funny at all.
What was the payoff?
I honestly don't know. It was like
the
just
frog
really...
lost another leg, and then what?
And then he died, and then so I don't.
Yeah, it
I don't...
wasn't even a joke.
Pour one out for the frog. The only one I care about on Leonard's date was Eileen. The queen of Tribeca, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
She had a real look.
Oh, like, she was like a Broad City character. Like, she...
From a different era.
Yeah.
Very coiffed, big statement jewelry, but, like, there's something about her that just read, like... Like, she was probably about 70 herself, but she looked like a 70-year-old from 1970.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She came to New York to be a famous artist and was successful in that by her
own
words. And she told him to retire his frog joke, which shouts to her for that. I can see why he didn't go on a second date with her, because he can't deal with her keeping it real. Yeah, I don't know. Anything else to say about Leonard's date?
Yeah, I thought that
one woman who said had to clarify that she did not kill any of her three husbands was a
yeah, she was a real trip too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that Leonard was a widower, and I thought that one of the things that was really interesting was that I don't know. I liked the perspective of the thing I did appreciate about this show is it showed queer dates, it had gay date, it had straight hetero lame dates, it had it all.
Yeah,
but I really kind of appreciated the juxtaposition in Leonard's date. Like, if you compare those women to Victoria in the first date, who went out with that, like, totally bland bro, like, it was just, like, more human and less, like, performative.
Absolutely,
like, all those people were just straight up there to, like, have a pleasant evening with someone. Like, there's none of that expectations. Like, when... And that was the thing, actually, where I was like, I'm officially on the record as having said I'm out. But then I was like, oh, maybe it'd be fun to, like, meet someone else, because you don't have that weight of expectation. Like, you've lived a life already, and you don't have that, like...
You certainly don't have to talk about whether you see yourself having kids.
Yeah. And also, you know, when you're young, it's just like, it seems so big because it's like your future. It hasn't happened yet, you know? And, like, then... Yeah, like, dating as an older person, I was like, oh, God, the benefit of just realizing, like, everybody's had experience, everybody's, like, you know, just, I don't know, it seemed very, like, human, and, like, the no expectations thing was really nice, and I just thought that they were all, like, just happy to be out. I was also amazed that Leonard's dates ranged in age from... what, like, 43 to, like, 88? Like, what age was that lady?
Hard to say based on...
Yeah, and song, I'm like, that's so weird to me. Like, I would not have that range available as a 40-something-year-old woman. No. No. Like, I would get a very narrow window of Danville dads. I'm just saying.
Yeah, what else was I going to say about Leonard? Oh, it was also funny. I don't know, people that age, like, Leonard's had a varied career. They all talked about doing drugs.
Yeah.
And, like, some, like, as many women in their 60s in New York, probably, like, a lot of them were like, oh, yeah, I've done drugs too. Like,
yeah.
The 70s were a great time. And then some of them were just, like, clutching the pearls to Betsy.
Yeah.
And I liked the contrast between that one religious woman, that was her deal breaker because Leonard's an atheist. She was just, like, very uptight about the fact that he's ever done drugs. And then Karen, I think the one who, with the short hair, who seemed like a cool lady, former gym teacher, she was shocked, but also, like, kind of intrigued. Like,
yeah.
You could tell if they had a second date, she would have been like, so are you going to bring some acid?
Yeah. You got some Molly, Leonard?
Yeah.
I thought it was really kind of, sweet, and it was nice to have that juxtaposition, especially after, like, Lex's date did have a lot of kind of innuendo and I don't know, like, BDE, I guess, and then, like, to just have it be brought back to, like, Leonard and have it just be like, you know, oh yeah, it's about, like, companionship too.
Yeah,
you know, this is kind of off topic, but Catastrophe just finished, and the last season features a storyline where Sharon's dad died and her mom takes up with this new guy.
Model.
And she, late in life male model. And she's talking to him and she's like, you know, she's not over him and like it's just too soon. And he was just like, well, it'd be strange if she was. Yeah. Like, he sounds like he was a lovely man. And mm-hmm. I just, like, the humanity of that kind of reminded me of this, where it's like, yeah, you reach a point in your life where it's like, yeah, it just doesn't seem as high stakes to go on a right. date with someone.
And you're
someone.
More comfortable and with, like, ambiguity and, like, yeah. the idea of a deal breaker isn't such a black and white thing. And,
yeah.
You know, you get to a certain point and you have to be okay with someone coming with a, you know, some amount
with
of
stuff.
Baggage.
Yeah, yeah, know? Exactly. That's the thing. And you have your own shit, yeah. you know, because you've lived a life to that point, too. Right. And, yeah, I thought it was really nice. And it was also gross to see Leonard kissing, but, like, it's also nice to show that, yeah, like, older people want to get it on.
I did notice that, you know, in The Bachelor, we always get, like, the running on the beach shirtless shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And the shower shot of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
This show didn't do any of that, except with Leonard. We got a little shirtless shot of him in the bathroom shaving before his date. And I was like, all right.
Oh!
Thanks. Thanks for the cheesecake, I guess. Let's move on to Sarah, whose date I found even more
this
upsetting yeah. than Gherky's date. Sarah's a beautiful young woman.
She is.
Who went out with 5 monsters. No, some of them were fine.
They were.
But her, so the like one of the few conventions of the show is that they introduce the person with disembodied voiceovers
yeah.
from their friends or family. Like, just, I guess, Netflix saving the money for having to send these people to hair and makeup. But Sarah's, I believe, gay best friend, as he identified himself,
mm-hmm.
said that she... I don't know. She's one of those people who doesn't think she deserves better. She dates assholes. And she seems cool, but over the course of this date, I could feel her, like, she seemed totally fake.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fake.
Yeah.
I think she wants to be a manic pixie dream girl and sort of, like,
yeah.
signals these things, like, she thinks she's like a quirky weirdo.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're not.
Off camera, she definitely said she was into butt stuff at some point to somebody. Definitely.
Yeah. And like, you could tell the way she, like, it was very disingenuous the way she would shut down. Like, okay, the one guy with the big hair, she clearly wasn't that into him.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name?
Adrian. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He was very handsome, but kind of a, I don't know. I didn't like his sort of manner. But he made a joke, like, they gave her onions or something when she didn't order them on her dinner, and he made a joke about not tipping.
Mm-hmm.
It was so clearly a stupid joke.
Yeah, yeah.
But she, like, got mad and said, like, that's not, like, you could never, it was just like she got fake mad about
yeah.
it. And then he was like, you know, calm down, it was a joke. And then she's like, don't ever tell a woman to calm mm-hmm. down. I was like, girl, just tell him you don't like him. Like,
yeah.
you don't have to lead him down this execution path.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it made me upset.
Yeah, it was part of the thing. So obviously, she was also attracted to the clear asshole, like the guy who was giving off all the signals for, like, being unavailable, but would totally bang her and, like, you
was
know.
That,
I don't recall the guy's name.
The strip club bouncer or the guy who looked like Vin Diesel?
They were different people.
They did kind of similar vibes.
Yeah, I don't
one
know.
One of them kept talking about his dick, and he got sent home. The other one was kind of a dick, but extremely hot.
Yeah, the guy that she went to the bar with and was, like, giving, like, straight up, like, I am DTF vibes. Like,
mm-hmm.
she was really kind of trying hard with him, but then also doing that thing where she was trying to pull back
yeah.
and, like, be interesting and make him pursue. And, like,
mm-hmm.
he was clearly never going to, because this guy had... I don't know, women lining up, because he was hot. But anyway, I think part of what made me uncomfortable with her dates is the, like we've all fucking been there. Like,
yeah.
It was just like that sense of, like, being young and not really having a sense of who you are,
mm-hmm.
like what you like. And you're like, Her entire goal was to get people to like her.
Right.
And not think about what she was actually seeking in a relationship and what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was surprising that she went for the kind of, like, bland, nice guy. You know she was going to ghost that guy. Like,
I thought there were two guys. Well, one guy, I thought, Nick, the first one, was really hot and seemed normal and nice. And then she picked the guy who was extremely bland.
Yeah. But I think thought, that like, was like kind of a safety thing. Yeah, like yeah. She's like, oh, this guy, like
that guy won't reject her.
This guy won the liking me stakes.
Exactly.
It's not who I like.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that was part of what like made me really uncomfortable is like, oh God, yeah, like I've done that and like wasted your time with fucking guys, like trying to win them over. And like that date was very much about like her trying to win people over, and yeah, that's gross. Don't do that. Think yeah. about what you like, guys. It's not about who likes you. It's about what you like.
Yeah. Oh, also, on the menu at this restaurant was a big salad, and Matt, the guy who won, was like, "Do you think that's like from Seinfeld?"
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, "Oh my God, I think you're right." And I was like, "Girl,
yeah,
don't." Yeah. Don't do that.
Take it down 75 notches.
Don't reward a man for explaining a Seinfeld joke to you.
Yeah.
That's yeah. going to lead you down a dark path.
Yes.
Tell you what. Yeah, anyway. That episode made me the most uncomfortable, oddly. And then we ended with...
Also, I would to say that Sarah was very clear about the fact that she moved to New York for an ex, and I hate that.
Oh, really? I thought she said she moved because she watched Rent and wanted to move to New York.
No, she moved because, yeah, like she followed a guy or whatever.
Did I misinterpret that, or did she also mention Rent?
She did definitely mention Rent. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, Rent's a better story. Move to New York because you, I mean, that's terrible.
I'm not
terrible,
sure which story makes
yeah, that's
dumber.
Terrible. Yeah, don't move to New York because of Rent, but yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen Rent, but it didn't seem romantic exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the final episode, and by far like the relief we needed after the toxicity of Sarah's dates, was Mila, a woman who dates women, and it was just such a delight to see like the lack of that sort of posturing and like the toxicity of like sublimating who you are in favor of trying to be who you think this person wants you to be or whatever. Like just a bunch of people asking questions and actually listening to the answers and being like sweet and solicitous and like honest about how things were going.
Yeah.
Oh, real breath of fresh
air.
Really like making me want to join the lesbians.
Yeah. It's the, I've said it before and I will say it again. Somebody tweeted a long time ago, what's your like biggest cell phone and, my Nokia. But 90% of the responses were from women saying being heterosexual. Like that is the dumbest thing I do to myself on a daily fucking basis.
Yeah.
Being heterosexual.
And this show truly crystallized that. It's like it's a losing proposition for women at least.
It really was just a sheer breath of fresh air. Like they all just Mila's beautiful. She's like, she's a high fashion and she's like a model on the side and all of this. She's beautiful. But it was like she had a wide range of women that she went out with and they all were just very like
cool.
Yeah, just really cool. And also like, again, that same thing of like different from the Leonard vibe, but like that same like no expectations.
Yeah.
Like you are going to meet someone on the level of like going to like, you know, I'm just going to have a talk with somebody and like listening to answers and being genuinely curious about the other person. And
Her first date was with Nina. Mm-hmm. And when she came up, she was dressed like a Humboldt State student, like a t-shirt and puka shell necklace. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this dowdy woman is probably like an executive at Gucci.
Yeah.
Like there's something about her vibe where I was like, this
it's
is
so
intentional.
Low fashion, fashion. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was right. She runs her own fashion line.
Yep.
I see you, Nina. I don't know. I don't really have that much to say about it except everyone was cool. And I need you to explain what a fuckboy is to me. Because it came up in this context and I was like, I didn't really know what fuckboy is, but now I definitely don't understand
it. Yeah. Is it just anyone under 35? I don't know.
Let's go with that.
I don't know what a fuckboy is. I'm
All right.
proud to say I'm not in that world and I don't know. I assume I've dated many in my time. just sounds like something I would do.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to a quick song. And then when we come back, we'll talk more about dating around and maybe some of the dating shows of yesteryear, by which I mean the late 90s, early 2000s.
MTV really doing yeoman's work.
Yeah. All right. Stay tuned and we'll be back in a couple minutes. TV on the radio. We're talking dating shows. Leah, do you have any favorite dating shows of yesteryear?
Oh, God. Yeah, so many. I loved Next, which...
I was not familiar with this show.
I can't believe you missed it. So it was a giant bus that drove around Long Beach with, like, blacked out windows. And
Long Beach. I love it already.
It was basically, yeah. I mean, they tried to make it classy, but it wasn't. It was an MTV show. It was...
Oh.
So there were four people on a bus. The person would, I don't know why, but these dates always happened in like a fucking park. So
there'd be this cheap. You can film it for free.
Yeah, and you can park your bus in the parking lot of a park. But so the four people would be on the bus all talking smack about how they were going to have like the longest date. The premise of the show was that you get off the bus and the person... the dater decides to do something with you or says next, and you just have to, like, you get dismissed and have to go back. They say next at some point during the date. You get $1 for every minute that you that they don't say next.
$35 to be on this show.
And at the end, you then, as the person who has the most money, like $30, whatever, get to say if you want to go on another date with the person or if you want to keep the $30.
Wow.
It combined lust and greed. It was, had it all.
That's like the purest distillation of MTV.
It was amazing. And also, one of the things that I really enjoyed about the show was they had like a little bio for everybody as they were coming off the bus. Mm-hmm. And the bios were like the most fucking random stupid facts ever about
that's
everyone.
My dream job is it was
like
those.
Yeah, like Kendra failed her driving test four times, only shops at Top Shop, and like, you know, once misspelled the word love or whatever. That's, like, they were just this is not info anyone needs about That's this person.
My favorite dating show from that era, or it was from the late 90s and early 2000s, Blind Date, did the same thing.
Yep.
Like, they introduced everyone with semi-random facts. I loved that show.
Yeah.
I thought it was so fucking funny. I loved Roger Lodge, who I learned today was born Rogelio Chavez.
Really?
If you ever come back to hosting a dating show, Rog, I think you should bring back your OG name. But yeah, it sent people on these like random, well, the dates always went like rando activity, like Build-A-Bear.
Yeah.
It was not Build-A-Bear. Yeah. They couldn't afford Build-A-Bear. And then like Mexican food and drinks. And then there was always an option to go in a hot tub. And the show was embellished by these like little animated pop-ups that were commentary. And they were so funny. I miss you, Therapist Joe. I used to have the Blind Date Guide to Dating. I could not find it this morning. Aww. I hope it's somewhere in my house still. But yeah, bring back Blind Date. Were you an Eliminate fan?
I was an Eliminate fan. Well, okay, here's the thing. I thought I was an Eliminate fan. And then last night, my husband and I decided to YouTube some old episodes of Eliminate. And I'm like, wow, there was a lot more open mouth kissing in Eliminate than I, and like gross open mouth kissing too. So Eliminate, for those of you who aren't familiar, the premise was that you had, you started off with four girls,
I think,
and then you eliminated them at different, you know,
in
points
rounds,
along the, points along the date, until you came down to the one date that you wanted to disgustingly make out with on TV. Like, this one guy that we watched last night was like, he practically swallowed her whole. It was disgusting. It was truly gross.
Was there a lot of drinking on Eliminate?
There was a lot of drinking. There was also like the one I saw, they were at some party at, I think it was a frat house maybe. And then there was a scene in the hot tub, but it wasn't actually a hot tub. It was just like a bathtub with jets. And they had three of them crammed in there with like a bottle of, I think it was not even Corbel. I don't know. It might have been. Yeah, a bottle of Cokes.
Yeah.
And it was really something. I'm like, this was made on a shoestring budget.
Yeah, they were all very cheaply done.
And it just also like featured the 90s were a wild fucking time for fashion. So
weren't they?
Lots of silk, lots of like silk camisoles and like hair up in chopsticks with like, you know, like pieces out and like lots of frosted gloss. And
the frostiness of the 90s.
Oh, God.
I just quickly, I've been raving about this to Leah for weeks now, but if you're not following the night opening Twitter account, which just tweets pictures from film openings, a lot of them from that era, the fashion is mind bending.
Yeah.
It's, I just, I mean, you say this about every era of fashion that falls out of style, but it's like, what were we thinking? I don't.
Why did nobody wear clothes that fit? Like, why was every suit 12 sizes too big for the suit wear?
The men's wear was oversized by a factor that you can't possibly fathom. Women were wearing incredibly tight and revealing clothes. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, all of it in the most unflattering desert neutrals.
Yeah. You can fathom.
Like, I don't understand the color
and the
palette
worst
at
materials
all.
You could ever wear.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like rough denim and juxtaposed with like a silk top. Like silk camisoles were a real thing there, and that was
The lingerie influence on women's wear was just, it's, I don't know, it's not like we dress conservatively now, but just looking at it, it feels a little I clutch my pearls. Anything else? Oh, the other one I watched, which I kind of hated myself every time I was watching it, but it was probably like on in the block with Blind Date. Shipmates, which I think just sent two people on a blind date on a cruise ship. I don't know who conceived of this. Maybe someone inherited a cruise ship and they're like, we need to do something with this. Hosted by Chris Hardwick, clearly at rock bottom in his career and life. Like he just like clearly was more of like a commentator because he wasn't on the ship. He was just in a green screen room, like always had his arms crossed and was like hunched over and his hair was greasy. And like you could tell he was like coming down from something.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I
wish we had left him on the ship.
Yeah. As an aside about Chris Hardwick, I listened to on the recommendation of Station Mom, Cosmic Amanda, I listened to the Marc Maron WTF pod with Paul Rudd in honor of Paul Rudd Day. And it was delightful, as you can imagine.
Was it like his 30th birthday or something recently?
It was his 50th. I think I may have seen something about that. But anyway, it led me into, I also listened to the Andrea Savage episode of What the Hell. Did not know that she dated Chris Hardwick for a long time and had nothing but good things to say about him. He got sober after they broke up because his drinking was a real problem. And Marc Maron was talking about how he had like this irrational fucking hatred for Chris Hardwick, which that's rational.
Justified.
Yeah. But he was saying that they basically were just talking shit about how he needed to, like, how he was so sloppy and was just, like, a total fucking mess. So that was probably the Shipmates era.
Yeah. No, he was, I know that he had, I'm not trying to, like, make light of substance abuse problems, but I do still hate Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, I hate him too.
Anything else?
No, just, I really, so dating around was, as we said, like, a really easy, nice show to watch.
Would you watch a second season?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and also the thing I enjoyed about it is that I feel like single people should watch this just to realize that like it's not all high stakes, guys. Like it really is just going, like dating is going to have a drink with someone or to have a meal with someone or whatever. Like it doesn't have to be this performative, like rest of my life. Like this could be my last first date, you know, like. People should just enjoy getting out and meeting people more.
Yeah.
And
there's probably something to be said, like, vis-a-vis this show about the, like, gamification of dating. Mm-hmm. Like, the sort of churning through, like, swiping apps and, the gaminess of, like, looking at it on your phone and then, like, trudging through first dates and checking off boxes. But I don't know. I feel very disconnected from it all, so I don't have anything to say about it.
Yeah, same.
I would be interested on a single dating person's perspective on the show, but I don't know anyone.
That's not us.
I don't have any friends, so
yeah.
That's out.
It's not us.
What's your drag name?
Oh, God. I'm just kidding. Some breaking news. We received a tweet. Listener Steven, thanks for listening, said Paul Rudd is 50. I am glad we could bring that news to your attention.
There's no place I can escape Steven's commentary on people's ages.
I'm sure Steven may have heard something about new American national holiday, Paul Rudd's 50th birthday.
This is apropos of nothing. I was going to ask you if you think men just make up gestures of chivalry so that they can feel gentlemanly.
Oh.
And that was because one guy, I forget who it was walking down the sidewalk with his date, and I forget what episode it was.
I think it was Goopty's episode, and he said that he had to walk a Gherky.
Yeah, he had to walk on the outside of the sidewalk, because that's where the man walks, and it's like, to protect her from like a car careening off the street? Like,
yeah,
what
no,
does
that's,
that mean?
That's an actual thing.
That's real?
It used to be, that is real. And it used to be that men would walk on the outside, because in Victorian times, people would throw their
crap out the window.
Yeah, throw their crap out the window. No, of their houses, and it would fall to the outside. So that's why men had to walk on the outside to be doused in piss. Which I say, bring it back, guys, bring it back. But yeah, no, that's a real thing. Okay. That is a real thing, and I will tell you that one man in my life does that every single time we walk anywhere together, and that is my boss. And I find it very off-putting.
He's like, you can just tell by the way he positions
himself. Oh no, he said it to me the first time he did it.
Wow.
And I now it's a very weird gaming game where we both try to get to the outside because nobody's throwing buckets of piss out the window anymore.
But you
guys
both want to be the first one there in case it comes back.
No, because I just, it's dumb. Yeah. I don't, and yeah, I mean, if any car hops the curb, sure, I guess take you out first.
Do you have any deal breakers when it comes to chivalrous gestures or anything else?
No. No.
Yeah. You're wide open.
My deal breaker is just ever meeting anyone new ever again. That's really a real deal breaker for me. It's just I can see myself being like 5 minutes into something and just being like, no. guys.
I know.
Sorry.
I mean, most people are monsters, so.
Yeah.
Why would you bother?
Me included. I am a monster.
You're the worst.
Yeah.
Does the show, did it make you miss dating at all? Like,
oh, no. I guess that's not technically true. Like, the soft lighting, the flattering, like, moving to a second location with someone, like, sure, yeah, like, that seems fun. And also, like, meeting people that you genuinely like and have a connection with, like, sure, that seems great. Just seems like way too much work for where I'm at in my life at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? Did it make you miss it at all?
No. No. I mean, I'm just, like, such a wreck when it comes to social interaction. Like, I don't think I could go back to that.
What do you feel you would do differently now if you were back on the dating scene than when you were younger and on the dating scene? If anything, maybe nothing.
I don't know. I mean, it would be so different now. Mm-hmm. Like, the way people meet is so different.
Yeah.
I think I would still try to be like, I don't think I could do dating apps. Like, just going on a date with someone I've never met before is a totally foreign concept
to me.
Like, I've never met someone, like, on the, I met my husband on the internet, but technically we met in person, not on a dating situation before we started dating. So, I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like I would just be so much more relaxed about it now. I just would not give a shit. And
yeah, that would help. I mean, it really is attractive to be in the position to not give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys can reach out to us if you want to go on a date.
Next. The best episodes in Next were the ones where someone literally was walking down the steps and the guy was like, next, next, next.
We didn't
really, you should run your life, actually.
We didn't really talk about the role of not just like dating apps, but social media in dating shows and how you can't really tell if someone, I mean, now people just will go anywhere to get Instagram followers because that is how. And so it's like, I was wondering if dating shows are essentially ruined because of that. But then I was looking at The Dating Game, one of the OG dating shows from the 60s. And do you know who was on The Dating Game before they were famous? I lost my notes. I think Farrah Fawcett.
Okay, sure.
Tom Selleck.
Sure.
Lee Majors.
Really?
Like, literally dozens of people. And I don't know, maybe they just got discovered and that changed the course of their lives. But I have a feeling that's not true. Anyway, I guess that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next week with more TV on the Radio. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go, do 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 do. Never once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where